Lauren Groff is a New York Times bestselling author. She's been on this program a number of times to talk about her novels, The Monsters of Templeton, Arcadia, as well as the short story collection, Delicate Edible Birds. Her new novel is Fates and Furies. And certainly her fiction often explores the tension between individual and community. This novel strings community to just two, a marriage. It's told in two halves from the opposing perspectives of a relationship. Fates and Furies illuminates all the quiet, small, daily ways that we deceive, compromise, or cramp ourselves to sustain a partnership, even a happy one, and how even within so much intimacy, the other partner's experience is fundamentally so unknowable and mysterious. The book, again, is Fates and Furies, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Lauren Groff to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you here.
Oh, it's always delightful to talk to you, Joe. Thank you.
Does life have to knock you around a little bit before you can write a novel like this?
I don't know. I have a really lovely life, and I have a really spectacular husband. So I feel like I should probably say that right off the bat, just to clarify everything. But I do think the older you get and the more entrenched in a relationship you are, the more you do see the mystery in what happens in an intimate partnership, you know, the more sort of beautifully strange it becomes, I think.
As I mentioned, you have written so much of a larger relationship of people in a community and a place. What was it like to pare that down and look at these two perspectives, these two very intimate perspectives?
Right. Well, in truth, I tend to write multiple projects at once, and I actually started Fates and Furies while I was still writing Arcadia, which is my previous book, which was about a utopianist, idealistic commune that sort of falls apart in upstate New York. And as I was writing it, I thought, you know, this is something that I'm absolutely fascinated by, community. It's just something that I keep writing around, no matter how often I try to get away from it. It's just what I keep going back to. And I thought, how exciting would it be to write about the very smallest community you could possibly have? And I do think that a marriage is utopian in its own way, right? I mean, it's something where you go into it with only the best intentions. You put so much energy and love and time, and yet we're human beings and we have flaws and we make mistakes. And so I really wanted to think about how one can be a unit, but also an individual at the same time, the same way that one is a unit within a larger community, a town, or a utopianist effort. As I was writing Arcadia, actually, you know, writing, I would take a break and get up and write on opposite sides of my studio. I put up these huge sheets of butcher paper, and I would write from the husband's point of view, Lotto, Satterwhite's point of view, and then I would immediately turn around and write from Mathilde's, the wife's point of view. And it was really exciting to me to be able to tell the same story in different ways as I was thinking about the larger idea of community.
In that of looking at the at these two perspectives of a marriage, how much of it is, I guess, comes from your experience as being a wife? And are you able then to understand that life of a husband?
Well, it's funny. I have a very happy marriage, but it's also true that I feel incredibly ambivalent about marriage in general. And a lot of my ambivalence comes from the historical ramifications of marriage. You know, it began not as what it is now. It began as almost commerce, right? It's a way to create families by selling young women into a sort of larger social structure. I mean, the word husband and animal husbandry are awfully similar. So I have incredible ambivalence about the institution to begin with. And I wanted to sort of explore my ambivalence in a certain way also. But to be perfectly frank, you know, I resist a lot of the wifely duties that society says that I'm supposed to have in my own life. And some of this is this feminist idea of, you know, you make your own marriage what it should be and not what people external to the marriage tell you that it should be. But another reason is, you know, I'm the artist in my marriage. Like Lotto, the husband is the artist in his marriage. And so I think we, both of us, take a lot of privilege. I think both of us get so involved in what we do that we sometimes exclude our families. So I am writing from the point of view of a wife, but I'm also writing from the point of view of the creator within a marriage, whose partner is the one who supports the creation. So in a way, this is actually not only a story about marriage, it's a story about privilege, and it's a story about creation. In a very real way, it's an apology to my husband, who does do, I'm going to say, 75% of the child care. You know, he's the one, I'm going on book tour that's going to take 2.5 months. He's the one who's doing everything. I mean, he's the one who wakes up with the boys and gets them breakfast and takes them to school. He's the one who puts them to sleep at night. I mean, he does everything. And so, you know, I do feel a tremendous amount of guilt for that. But I also think that this is the way that in a marriage, we all make compromises, right? I mean,
right.
I compromised because I'm living in Florida, which is not a place I ever wanted to live, so that he could take over the family business. And he has, in turn, compromised in his really generous and loving way to be the primary parent. So, you know, in, just to get back to your question, I'm resisting the role of the wife in this book, but I'm also sort of talking about what the role of the supporter is and how we do take them for granted sometimes.
It seems, in my reading of the novel, it seems that not only are you looking at roles, but you're also looking at rules, societal rules that are often the baseline for a relationship. As you said, these century-old baseline ideas and ideals of what a marriage is and what it can be and what it should be. And so I'm curious as to, do you have to live through that and fight those stereotypes to fully understand it and create the kind of novel that you have? Or in the writing, does it help you understand it?
I think the latter more than the former. You know, I don't actually believe that anybody has to live through anything in order to write about it. I do. I mean, I have never lived in a commune, and yet I feel as if with talking to hundreds of people, I was able to sort of recreate the idea of what it was like to live in a commune. You know, I think this book could be written by a person who's never been in an intimate relationship. That said, You go into these books, and it's a multi-year process, and you go in because you have no idea what you think about something. it's one way to go about trying to figure out what it is you know and what it is you're resisting and where those very dark knots are at the very deepest parts of you. And so writing this book really did sort of clarify a lot of things about marriage and intimacy. You know, it didn't make me any less ambivalent about marriage. It made me far more grateful for my own.
Well, when you talk about those dark knots, it just seems to me that while you don't know what they are and you have to explore them, that you had to know they were there or you wouldn't have wanted to write it in the first place.
Yes, right. But of course, all of these things are sort of dark shadows moving within the darkness of your soul. So you can't actually pinpoint what they are or you don't see them, right? I mean, it's all a process of discovery, which makes it so much fun. You know, we have these conversations about our books, and we make it seem like this grinding chore, but it's so gloriously fun to write like this and sort of discover at every step what it is we know that we know.
So you hand the book to your, did your husband read along as you were writing, or did he read
no.
it when it was done?
No, I know. No, so this is actually a little bit of a funny story, but I was in despair. You know, I thought I would never be able to finish this book.
Yeah.
He never reads anything until I'm totally happy with a draft, which ends up getting completely radically changed after he reads it. But what had happened was I was just thinking, you know, this is it, I'm done, I'm never going to write another book. And he's so good at knowing how to motivate me, and he gave me a dare, which was, this was in 2013, and it was early on in 2013, he said, if you don't hand me a finished manuscript by the end, December 31st in 2013, he said he was going to invest all of my money in a mutual fund called ViceX, which, you know, invests in cigarettes and, like, nuclear armaments and, like, you know, guns, you know, everything basically
stuff,
that I'm against.
Yeah.
I know, it was a negative financial inducement to finish this book. So, and I did it, you know, December 31st, I printed it out and I put it in his hands. And it was a mess. I mean, I had to spend another 7 months just rocking through about 15 revisions, but it was done.
Did you just want to watch him as he read every page, or did you just leave him alone? And
oh yes, I always leave him alone and,
yeah,
and go elsewhere. I go to the gym for about 4 hours, like yoga class after yoga class, to try to calm myself down. But he's so good, you know. In the beginning, he was a very bad reader. he would find himself in every male character and get offended and angry. But since I started writing actual books that were actually published, he's been so good about being able to separate himself from any negative implication about husbands or male figures at all. So he's very good about that.
You trained him.
I trained him beautifully. He is beautifully trained. Yes.
The novel is beautiful, and it's an awful lot of fun to read, too. It's Fates and Furies. It is published by Riverhead Books. Warren Groff, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, and I thank you so much for sharing with us. Best of luck with this and the future work as well.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be on the show.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, Warren Groff is the author of the novel Fates and Furies. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.